Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? Today is January 25th, 2017, and this is our 25th episode, if you've been keeping count, because you know we have, and we're excited to always talk about it. I am your host, Russ, and always, of course, along with me is the jazzercising-loving Kent Waldron and the yoga-posing Carrie Blowers. Guys, how are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Yep.
Kent is ready to go to this week. He is psyched, and you can tell he's very happy. So, well, again, this is a wrestling podcast. We talk about wrestling, things that, you know, tickle our fancy every week, things going on, what's happening. And, of course, we have all of our fun segments that really either grind our gears, intrepid reporters, or man crushes of the week. So, before we get too far along, folks, really quickly, want to say that if you want to email us, you can email us anytime during the week or during the show. You can always email us at wrestling@ninedeuce.com. That's wrestling@ninedeuce.com. Or hit us up at Twitter at @official9deuce. And that's our Twitter account, official9deuce, because we are official.
And if they want to go to Facebook, they can go to facebook.com/9deuceblog. And we're also on Instagram. What it is, I don't know yet. I'm looking it up right now.
Instagram.
But rest assured, it has something to do with 9deuce.
Because I know Instagram so well.
Wait, yo, since we're talking about 9deuce for a second, come on. Did anybody catch the reference last night? Anybody?
Sorry, I wasn't listening to dialogue.
Yeah, well, you should have been. During the Ellsworth Carmella, she asked if we were back in 1992.
Oh, she did. I didn't hear that. Oh.
Ah.
Nice. Or maybe I did, because I do remember something. Nah, I probably don't. I don't remember. All right. So, okay. Let's start off with our topics that really tickled our fancy this week. Of course, we always talk about the things that really interest us during Raw and SmackDown. Each of us has a topic. We hit it. Hopefully, we don't bore you. So, let's always start with the...
It's official 9deuce. Instagram.
Official 9deuce for Instagram as well. Okay.
So, yeah, if you remember Twitter or Instagram, you remember both of them. So, they're there. They're kind of getting updated. Except
All
for
right.
Instagram.
Yes.
Instagram, they may have to go to SuperKent 9deuce because I don't quite know what all my login info is for both things, and switching back and forth is a pain in the dick. Just saying. I'm trying.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with Carrie. Carrie, give us your first topic. What really tickled your fancy this week?
So I'm going to, you know, go old school and talk about my favorite subject that I haven't talked about in a while, and that's the women's division. And then I'm going to follow up my discussion of this week in women by posing a question to you gentlemen. So this week in women's wrestling, we had a lot, at least on SmackDown. We did Raw. We had, you know, some stage setting for Bayley and Charlotte's match at Royal Rumble, more Nia and Sasha. And still no word on where Emelina is. So, who cares? But on SmackDown, we had some great things. We had Carmella's makeover of James Ellsworth, or as I like to call it, the Ellsworth makeover Jersey Shore edition. More Nikki and Natalia fighting over who's more relevant than whom and who gets special things because of who they're sleeping with or their family. Who cares? It's been fun watching them fight. I'm back on board the fun watching them fight thing. Alexa, just doing Alexa things. Mickie James cut a good promo. All in all, it was just a good week for SmackDown's women's wrestling, which leads me to a question for you guys. Do you think the WWE dropped the ball by not having a Royal Rumble match for the women this year? If so, how would you set that up? And if they did have the match, who would you have winning?
That's a fantabulous question. Hitting us hard with the quick stuff. Ken, what do you think?
I'm pretty sure I wrote about this 2 months ago. Yeah, I'm in favor of it. This was the most opportune time ever for them to do a Women's Royal Rumble. That I wrote about in fall at some point, suggesting this, and obviously it's not going to happen to everyone get three women's matches at the Royal Rumble. Boy, I can hardly contain myself there. Yeah. One Rumble match versus two shitty matches and a six-woman tag match. Like, all fucks are out the door. Don't care. I have no interest in anything going on right now because the one thing they could have given me was a singles match from the SmackDown women. Instead, they're just like, we'll throw in a clusterfuck. Well, also, Sasha keeps saying that she wants to go to SmackDown. I'm anti this. No bald chicks on SmackDown.
No Sinead O'Connor's there. So, I agree. This would have been the perfect time for a Rumble. 15-woman Rumble match easily could have been done. They have enough women, and they could have got some scrubs. I mean,
WWE don't want no scrubs.
That's true. A scrub is a... I don't even know the song anymore.
Guy who thinks he's fly, trying to holler at me.
Yes. So, anyway, I think...
Go on, chase your waterfalls. Go ahead.
So, I think that it would be fun. It would be easy to do. And yes, they totally dropped the ball on that. Now, I do like the six-woman tag match because in 2 weeks we're going to get Elimination Chamber anyway.
Three weeks.
Is it 3 weeks? Oh, okay. 3 weeks from now, yeah. Technically at the end of this, after I was thinking after the Rumble, sorry. Right, in 3 weeks it's Elimination Chamber match. And that's when those matches, the SmackDown women are going to hit. Is SmackDown doing us a favor here by not letting us see these matches? Other than Alexa Bliss and Becky, which isn't going to happen now at Elimination Chamber, I'm pretty sure of. Haven't they done really good keeping Natty and Nikki interesting, but they never fought yet?
Isn't that a problem?
Do you think it's a problem?
Isn't this is the problem that we're dealing with. And this is something I'm going to get into much later. We're not dealing with a Royal Rumble, we're dealing with a Raw Rumble. Okay? This is ridiculous that we're having another pay-per-view in 3 more weeks. So, yeah, now SmackDown's not allowed to showcase hardly anything. Instead, it's all holding back for a stupid pay-per-view that nobody really cares about. Honestly, the Elimination Chamber match is awesome. That should be somewhere else. You know, usually like in the fall when nobody cares about stuff. That'd be great. We don't need it on the road to WrestleMania. Like, give us time. Let everything breathe. No need for... We don't even need a pay-per-view between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, really. But instead, now everything's getting held up so we can see Nikki and Natalya. So we can see Mickey versus, what's-her-tits and the other girls and the other girls
absolutely.
Girl things.
Gotcha. Carrie, what do you think? Do you think that it's better to hold off on the matches to see them, or are they doing something else here? Are they screwing up?
I just think right now, and I mentioned this in the blog, 9deuce.com/wrestling, I think by all the matches that Raw has put in to this pay-per-view, they're taking focus away from the Rumble. The pulse, the sole purpose of the Royal Rumble is a Royal Rumble match. I think SmackDown is doing this right.
But Carrie, let's not forget one thing. This is important. We have to cover 5 hours of wrestling. The Rumble can only cover an hour and a half to two. We need the other 4 hours to something.
Why do we need at least six hours? Why do we need a six-hour pay-per-view? Why do we need that?
Because
Booker T was vetoed. He wanted it to just be a five-hour show, but instead they wanted to make it 6 hours, so he got kicked out.
Yes. This is a WWE problem that we all agree with. It's too much wrestling. Like, I don't even want to think about wrestling until 7 o'clock, and there's a two-hour kickoff show.
So bring back Tyson Tomko. He was the problem solver. Give him an hour, everything will be
it'll
fixed.
It'll be fixed. It will. Yeah, it's true. I like that SmackDown has been holding off on the matches, just to give my quick pick on this one. I just think that it's more exciting because we're not seeing the matches get killed in the rivalry before the actual big match, which always happens at the pay-per-view. So, I don't know. I just thought it was really... I like it. They're doing different things with the women and not giving us those matches right away. And it's kind of holding it off, and I like that.
Yeah. Here's what should have happened, by the way. Since I've only watched a handful of Royal Rumbles this past 2 weeks and want to shoot myself in the fucking head.
I was going to say, have you only seen a few?
Yeah. What they used to do on the best ones, they would have 3 or 4 matches, and then they'd have the Royal Rumble match. On the best ones, they would have 2 or 3 of those be tag team matches and one other important match. That way, all the focus and the glamour goes to the Royal Rumble. But it was enough to kind of keep you interested if you were into those particular feuds. And I happen to know of a brand that has a lot of tag teams that are not being utilized in any way, shape, or form, unless, you know, you like them as lumberjacks or, you know, getting tossed over the top rope. You know, they're not getting utilized at all.
I find that interesting because I've always thought of the Rumble as a tag team killer. It always stops the tag team division, doesn't it? Because they all go to the Rumble and always participate.
You know, I thought that too, but now that I've watched the few that I have, I can safely say that actually the best years are when there were tag team matches, and therefore the tag team performers weren't taking up spots in the Royal Rumble where, let's face it, was Jimmy or Jey Uso ever going to win the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
No. That was a waste of a spot. So, in the good years, they would, put those guys in a match so they weren't taking up valuable spots and giving, guys like 3MB a chance.
Because they're definitely worthy guys. Win it. Yeah, absolutely.
Drew could have won it. Drew's got talent.
All right, so back to the women. Carrie, anything specific that really got you going with these women?
Just how everything was presented on SmackDown. They're doing great work. They have been for weeks now, but it just seemed like last night they were just, the whole division was just firing on all cylinders. Yeah. Everybody had a role.
And here's the best part. There wasn't a single woman's match on last night. Not a single woman's match on the show, and yet the women's division moved forward by leaps and bounds.
So, wait. So what you're telling me is that we don't need historical matches every week, and we don't need sit-down interviews every week with people that nobody cares about? You're telling me that that would help move ahead the women's movement more?
I know, it sounds crazy, but it really did, because let's face it, I care more about Nikki and Natty or what they're doing, and I have never cared about a Nikki Bella match ever in my life. I care more about what they're doing than almost everything on Raw. Almost.
I think it was 2014 at the Royal Rumble. The Bella Twins took on Paige and Natalya. Just tossing that one out there.
Yeah, I didn't care back then. Holy crap.
You did too, Paige. Come on.
Oh, Paige maybe. That's about it. But
I'm kidding. Nobody cared.
Yes. But that's my point. They did nothing last night match-wise, and yet everything was great.
But Naomi won a match, at least.
Yes, I like that. And I loved how Alexis. Oh, it is right. I was right this time. Alexa, she came out this time. I like that.
You mean like a heel and actually, stepped up?
Yeah.
That was good.
Except that she said not.
I mean, compare her and Braun Strowman. Who's the bigger bitch in that room?
Yeah. Oh, well, I know who your bitch is in that room, yes. You are definitely loathing Braun right now, aren't you, the way they're going with it?
Yeah, they're booking him worse than Great Khali right now. So anytime you can compare your career to Great Khali's...
I don't think they're booking him poorly. I just don't think you like their choices.
Yeah, well, I think you're a dumbass for thinking that.
We'll see. I bet you when he eliminates 15 guys at the Rumble...
Yep, that's another topic for later on.
All right. Excellent job. All right, Kat, do you want to talk about your stuff or you want me to go?
You can go, Russ.
Excellent.
I am dying to hear what you have to say because you have sparked my interest.
I know. Okay. I want to talk about, this is what really took my fancy. This week, the Wyatt family feud moved leaps and bounds ahead. And it was really great. Everything they're doing with that feud is awesome. We'll get into more details on that in a second. But it got me thinking. This feud has been going on for well over 6 months. Started with, I want to say it's SummerSlam with Randy versus Bray. So I think that's when it started. So he started before the month. So it's right around 6 months. When was the last time we've seen a long feud like this go on for 6 months and still care about it 6 months later down the road? When is that last time that ever happened? Then it got me thinking, what's the other longest feud going on right now? And I know Kent loves this, but right now the only other long feud I've been thinking of is Seth Rollins versus Triple H. We've been waiting for that since September.
And what about Cena versus Styles, Russ? That started like in June.
But that's also been interrupted between big breaks in between. The Randy Orton and Bray have been a feud consistent from the beginning. Sheamus and Cesaro would be another one. And Rollins and Triple H. Those are the three I can think of.
Wait, Charlotte and Sasha, are you kidding me here?
That's not six
months. Let's not discount great feuds.
That did not even last 6 months. That's the worst part. That was boring after two. And it only lasted four, maybe five. So I got to thinking, out of those three major feuds, the only one that's been interesting the entire time has been Bray versus Randy. And it got me thinking, I was like, what they're doing right with that. Everything in that has been intrigue, twist, and actually good storytelling. Because I keep on thinking, and this is in my heart of hearts, Randy's going to turn on Bray now that Luke is definitely done. You know, he kind of cut ties with Luke. So I'm thinking, oh, man. But I don't know. Is Randy going to turn on him? Maybe he's not. Who knows? It's been really exciting. Where the Triple H and Rollins stuff hasn't even gotten off the floor yet. And it's been 6 months almost. I'll give that one 5 months. So what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, the Wyatt family feud has just been, it's been booked to perfection, really. I've been intrigued since, day one.
I'm almost calling it. Nah, I wasn't intrigued in day one, but after he turned and joined them, that's when I started getting intrigued. But yeah.
Well, pretty much that's what I mean by day one.
Okay.
When Randy basically joined them and you're like, well, why is he doing that when he was just okay, we'll go with it. And it's been enjoyable. And then you look at, let's say, the Triple H Seth Rollins feud, where we know it's going to happen. It's almost inevitable at this point, but it's been so badly built up since Triple H helped Kevin Owens win the belt months ago that I think we just all don't care. I think that's the difference. It's just booking, writing, storytelling. It's just, there's just so much. It's like night and day between the two, really.
It is. Compare this week, and Kent, then I'll let you go. I'm sorry. But compare this week. Seth Rollins and Triple H finally moved forward, but in the most asinine way. And Kent, I know how much you loved this, so I want to talk about this with you specifically. But Stephanie, like you said in the blog, at wrestling@ninedeuce.com. wrestling/ninedeuce.com. Or ninedeuce.com/wrestling. Wow. Wow, Kent. Why didn't you stop me about 5 minutes ago when I was trying to think of the email? Let's try that again. Rewind at ninedeuce.com/wrestling.
Did anybody else just hear like the Benny Hill theme song playing?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, everyone just comes out and says, yeah, I'm in the Rumble. And then Sami Zayn's like, how do I get in the Rumble? And he's forced into a match with Seth Rollins. And if he loses, he doesn't get in. And if he wins, then Rollins is out. No explanation other than that. That makes no sense. How asinine is that? That everybody else can just come out and say, yeah, I'm in. But Zayn has to go through that. And then Seth also has to have a chance to lose his chance. They didn't explain it. They didn't do anything. And they left us with that. So that was asinine unless you put a backstory to it, which I completely make up at ninedeuce.com/wrestling. And I want you guys to read that. But basically what I say is this is Stephanie's perfect example to really quickly get Rollins. She doesn't care if Sami Zayn's in the Rumble or not. So have Sami Zayn go against Rollins, knowing Rollins will lose because it'll distract him. If they had just pointed that out to us from the beginning, it would have been a lot more interesting, or at least led us to that thinking. Instead, you have to put pieces together. Where Randy, Bray, and Luke, they've been piecing it together for us so perfectly all along. We knew this was going to happen. And then the intrigue. Were they done? Were they good? Nope. Bray turns on Luke. Excellent. And now we're all questioning what's going on. And that's a good question of what's going on instead of Rollins like, well, this is stupid. What the hell's going on? Kent?
I was sitting here listening to you, unfortunately.
Are you sure it wasn't the Mini Hill theme going on in your back head?
I'm trying to think, like, if I set the over-under at 30 minutes about you talking about Seth Rollins in totality on this podcast, would you take the over or the under? And I'm sitting there thinking, I may take the over on this.
But it hasn't been positive. It's not like I'm jumping like, oh, Rollins is doing great. It's negative. This is a negative.
Yeah. Number one draft pick right there. Not letting that go for a bit. Yeah, this is terrible. Everything about Raw was terrible. As I watched Raw, I started like 10-something. I was done in like 70, 75 minutes. I kept fast-forwarding, and the Sami Zayn and Seth match itself was perfect.
I said Seth, yeah, I thought the match was good.
Just the whole angle, like, if you represented your brand at Survivor Series, you get a pass. Everybody else, you should have a match, and whoever wins gets to go win. Simple as that. And you know what? That takes up some time, and Raw needs plenty of things to take up time. Wow, that would have been really hard. Oh, maybe you could have even had, like, Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass. The winning tag team gets to go to the Royal Rumble. Wow! Once again, you give a purpose for having this stupid match. No. Instead, you do that. And we talked about this, what, like 2 months ago? That they were waiting and waiting on this Rollins versus Triple H thing just for WrestleMania so they can have their big Mania moment. What good is it? What good is that moment when they haven't told us a story in months?
Exactly, and that's the problem. We're all going to like it because it's Triple H and Seth Rollins, but I am actually excited. I'm assuming this is going to happen. I have no clue, but I'm assuming Bray versus Randy is going to also happen at WrestleMania, and I am more excited about that because the story has been great. So, and it may not even happen. That's the other thing. I have no clue what's going to happen in this.
Yeah, the Wyatt thing in and of itself is intriguing, especially because Eric Rowan's due back sometime in March or April, which could add a whole other layer that we haven't even seen yet.
And we have no clue which way he's going to go. Is he going to join Luke? Is he going to join Bray? What?
It's but with Triple H and Seth, we just know it's going to go, and I'm going to take you on. That's a Mania point to the sign. Now you just pointed the sign. Now we stare at the sign for 45 seconds. Get pictures, cut promos, have a couple of crappy matches. Yep. Then we take up 45 minutes of WrestleMania.
Put a good match, and then Seth will be over, right?
Yeah, and then Seth's going to go do Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and leave us all high and dry. And I'm okay with it at this point. I really am. I'm so... All right. I really want you guys to think about this. When was the last pay-per-view that was not, at the very minimum, co-main evented by a member of The Shield? I did my research on this. Yeah. Have fun with this.
So, no co-main event, so...
No, I'm saying it could be a co-main event.
But I mean, it can't be... So, last time, one of those three guys was not in the main event.
So, basically, like, if they weren't in one of the top two advertised matches. I mean, like, WrestleMania has, like, five main events. Right, so, right. Like, you know, you can argue some of that. But, I mean, aside from WrestleMania, there's not many pay-per-views that have co-main events, aside from, like, SummerSlam, for instance.
Right.
So, think back. I can tell you when it was.
Is it over? Okay, let's do an over-under. You give us a relatively realistic over-under for us, and we'll call it.
WrestleMania 31.
So 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Over under 2 years ago. Okay, Carrie, go ahead.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over because you've been building this one up. Go ahead. Over.
Yeah, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania 30.
Holy crap.
When Shield took on Evolution, back-to-back pay-per-views. And since then, it's been nonstop Shield in the main event every single time.
Wow.
Yeah. But good old Dolph Ziggler, he can't get a match save his life.
That's
good times.
That's crazy. One of those three.
Even when they do the brand split?
Okay, I was going to say, even with the brand split? Holy crap.
Well, think about it. Dean's been in top matches this whole time during the brand split.
It's true.
So, yeah, that's something.
That's impressive.
I mean, even now, Roman's in it. Seth may or may not be in it. And Dean's in the Royal Rumble itself. So, you got two of the three in main event. It's
Elimination Chamber. Dean's probably going to be in the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only time a S.H.I.E.L.D. member is not going to be in the main event is going to be like if Dean gets injured or something like that.
Yes.
Really, the only check. Because Seth and Roman, they balance out on Raw. They're going to be in the main event picture for years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Wow, you kind of painted a bleak picture there. I can't even think.
And that goes to my point. This is why wrestling is on such a downward incline, no matter how much, like, we get great matches. I'm not going to sit here and say we don't get great matches, but wrestling in general is on a downhill slope, and it's been there since 2013. The issue is that we always say they don't build up enough new stars. Yeah, they did build up the Shield, but then they went and they did way too much with the Shield instead of saying, all right, we got these guys built up. Now let's go on and build up our Bray Wyatts, our Rusevs, get Dolph back on track. Since the Shield's been built up, how many stars have they made? Only one I can think of is AJ Styles.
They didn't make him.
Right. Kevin Owens.
All right.
Once again.
Well, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, do we count him? He's tough.
No.
Okay.
He's been in one pay-per-view. No.
Well, I meant, but though he would be up there as a built... Would he be a built star for WWE, or would we count him as indie darling?
It's because he was indie darling just in the same breath as Owens and AJ and Rude.
Okay. I'm going to say they've built, so far, Enzo and Cass, which is not going very well right now. And I say they built Gallagher, which is going great, but he's still in the beginning phases.
And does anybody know how old Gallagher is?
No clue.
I don't know. I mean, Corbin. Corbin's the obvious.
Oh, Corbin. Corbin, yes.
But
Braun?
They're not building their guys.
Right. Braun and Corbin right now are kind of in a mushy middle. Miz. Miz has been... Well, do we count him now?
Miz was so long ago, though.
I know, but he's doing awesome
now. Miz has been around
for
like a decade, man.
I know, but he's doing great now. So that's what I was wondering. Do we count him?
Yeah, but he main evented WrestleMania 27. We're on the verge of WrestleMania 33. I think he was made slightly before the Shield.
Okay, fair enough. You're right.
I mean, they just haven't built anybody. They've been solely focusing. And that's where the Attitude Era will always shine, no matter how dumb the angles were. And there were a lot of dumb angles.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, nostalgia is a hell of a thing. It makes us forget all the crap. But, you know, Kai and Tai wanted to chop off Val Venus's unit.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But the reality was they made stars. They knew how to make stars. They're clueless now. And what good is this Triple H rub? Honestly, Russ, you are a Rollins big fan. What good does this rub do for Seth Rollins at this point?
For Seth Rollins, nothing now. It maybe a couple years ago would have been a huge thing, but now Seth's a made man. He doesn't need Triple H. I think this is more of a passing of the torch match than anything else.
Like Owens or Zayn. Zayn's who I would have given the rub to. Zayn of anybody on Raw right now could have used this Triple H rub.
Oh, absolutely. Triple H rub, yeah, definitely. Seth's a made man. He doesn't need it. I think they're making this Triple H really wants one of his last matches to be against Seth, so.
Triple H will wrestle for the next 5+, maybe even 10 years.
Really? Because I've read an article, and I'm not saying he's going to keep
his word.
If
it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yep, that's true. But it was Triple H's words, and he said that he really wants to stop and focus more on the back end.
Yeah, so did Vince.
I know, you're right, and then Vince got out there. I know, so that's why I said we had to keep him at his word, so I don't know how long that's going to last.
Because Triple H is going to be like, oh man, we don't have any more part-timers to bring back at WrestleMania. How are we going to pop the buy ratings? We cannot use the talent that we use and built up for 11 months. No, no, we have to bring back old guys. So here I go.
All right. We've been talking on this topic quite a bit, so I'm going to cut us off here. Carrie, excellent contributing.
Yeah, we let her get in word in that
twice. We did, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, well, Carrie, I'll let you comment on Kent's topic that really got his gears. No, not gears. I don't want to use that. So let's say tickle his fancy again. What tickled your fancy, Kent?
You know, nothing. This week, I've seen so much good stuff and so much bad stuff. And as far as the current product goes, compared to some of the stuff that I have seen, it is mind-blowing. So this is my topic. It's a little bit of nostalgia with a little bit of proof in that the best era we had actually was the Ruthless Aggression era as far as booking goes. And I really hope that the rumor out there is that Road Dogg is taking over head writer of SmackDown.
I've heard. Actually, it's already happened, hasn't it?
Don't know. Who knows? I mean, really, it's one of those things that's, you know, it's on the internet. Who knows? I mean, Sami Zayn's supposedly in the doghouse, according to some dumb thing I read today. So, whatever. Thing is that, would somebody, I guess this would be my topic. Is Road Dogg the right type of guy to start creating new stars, or is he going to be another puppet? And furthermore, if he's a puppet of Triple H, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because we see what happens in NXT, and by and large, we like what happens in NXT. So, even if he is a puppet, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Carrie, I want you to look to the left, look to the right, then look to the left one more time, and then tell me what you think.
I think either way, puppet or not, I mean, he's friends with Triple H. They come from almost the same mindset. And we all love what Triple H has done with NXT. I don't think anybody can dispute that Triple H has done an amazing job with NXT. NXT outshines, every time they have a pay-per-view, anything that the main roster puts out. I think having Road Dogg in a position where he can do NXT-type work, so if he is, let's say, you know, working with Triple H in that manner, then we're going to see some really good things. I mean, we're already seeing good things from SmackDown, but we're going to see better things. So, either way, I mean, puppet or not puppet, I think he could do some great things. It just depends on, you know, who has his ear.
And it should be pointed out, I mean, Road Dogg, his last name is Armstrong. He comes from a wrestling family. His father was a promoter. He had his brother, Scott, may not still be a referee. Like, his family is wrestling. Like, he never got promoted in that way, in the same way that, like, an Orton has. But, yeah, Road Dogg comes from a long lineage of wrestling. So, just want to toss that out there. I think it's a good thing. But, Russ, kind of curious.
This is tough because on the one hand, I have no clue what his talents or skills are would be for writing. So there's that mystery. But we're not talking Shakespeare here. So it's not like these are mind-blowing angles that they have to create. They just have to create interesting angles that we can all agree on. And in that, I think Road Dogg can do. And I do think he'll be a semi-puppet for Triple H, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Triple H, because in the long run, it's still Vince. Vince still has control over everything. So even if Triple H wants to do something and Road Dogg wants to do something, Vince can easily just say, nope, not doing it. So there's still that. But again, you're right. Triple H has been doing amazing things with NXT. It's for the hardcore fan. And it's been fantastic. So, Road Dogg being in the pocket of Triple H, I don't see that being a necessarily bad thing. The only thing I can see it maybe being bad for is anybody who's on the bad side of Triple H, or not as strong with Triple H as some of the other guys.
CM Punk.
Exactly. If you're on the bad side of Triple H, I don't think he's like a Vince. I could be wrong. But Vince will work with you even if he hates you. Triple H, I'm not so sure about that.
I've always felt that that was the final test. I've often thought that that was the final thing Vince needed to see from Triple H before he could hand it over. Vince hasn't seen it yet. Triple H has not, you know, fixed his bridges with Ryback, with Punk, with anybody that's kind of left over really.
Even Batista,
things.
Right? And they're friends.
Right. So, I could see, unless maybe somebody like Shane, who was well-loved by pretty much everybody. I've never heard a bad thing about Shane, I don't believe. Unless maybe Shane's going to be the guy that kind of works towards, you know, keeping the bridges going. I don't know. Like, Triple H really needs to get his head out of his ass and figure this out, because there's no rhyme or reason why. Even if Punk's never going to wrestle again, fine. Get him in the Hall of Fame. That's all. That's all there is to it. Put personal stuff aside, get that man in the Hall of Fame. Not many people are more deserving of it right now that's not in the Hall of Fame than that man. Ryback, well, Ryback's awful, so, I mean, he can still be mad, because he'll just pout. But I want to say one other thing about Road Dogg, and then we can move on. I think Road Dogg will hopefully be good for the tag division. Tag team specialist, he should know how to write for the tag team division. And if we have a really low spot right now, it is in the tag team division on both sides, and we have really good talent. So there's no reason to have this lull. There's no reason for American Alpha to be not doing anything. There's no reason for Cesaro to be doing Gallows and Anderson in the worst possible, like, this storyline's terrible type thing. They could be doing better. So hopefully, I think that's where he's going to come in strong. So, that's all my topic. My topic was quick.
It was, unlike mine. Sorry.
Yeah. Of course, it was Rollins related.
We had to, right. We had to slob on that knob for a little bit.
You're a treat. Russ, you're such a treat. Could you treat us with your man crush of the week?
My man crush? Certainly. That's really easy this week, because I'm going to tell you something right now. I was shocked, floored, and you're all going to be floored. I never thought this would ever come. This day would ever come. All right? So my man crush of the week this week. We used to call up Plaza Pizza a lot, Kent. And we would say this all the time. Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, the Big Show is my man crush of the week. And holy crap. I'm just going to say this. That man looked like a beefcake that has never, ever looked... He's never looked that good ever before in his life. He looks fantastic.
He hasn't looked this good since his debut in WCW. And he didn't have the muscle. Like,
no.
He was just a big... He was thinner, but... He was on the thinner side. I don't think he was even this thin, but muscle-wise...
Yeah, like, he's got muscle. He's thinner, and he's got muscle. Like, he's defined. He's not just kind of a blob of fat. Hey, Kat. So...
God, I really wanted to bring up something else, but thanks for the fat joke. But, you know, what do you do with a guy like that? You have this 7-foot giant who's ripped now. What are we going to do with him? Let's put him in a match with Shaq and have him lose.
I was going to say, they're probably going to put him in a match with Kane and have him lose. Or maybe he'll have to jump on his father's casket as it drives away one more time for us. But this time, he rips the truck back.
I wish somehow we'd get the boss man back. I so do.
That was a great...
If I could bring back 5 wrestlers from the grave, Bossman would be absolutely one of them. He knew how to heal properly.
He certainly did. That's one of my favorite things ever. I don't remember any of the other parts of the feud. I just remember that.
Kerry, can you enlighten us on how you feel the Shaq versus Big Show situation is going to go down? You're our investigative reporter.
Well, I mean, it's Shaq, and, you know, celebrity coming in to wrestle, he's gonna win. I mean, that's just WWE booking logic. You bring in somebody from outside the business, they usually win.
And but that's so stupid, because they could really do something special with Big Show right now. He's got the look people are been craving for him. He's got personality. Okay, his ring work isn't the greatest, but would it be better now because he's in shape? So
yeah,
they've got something with him. Yeah, so they've got something right now with him. They're going to blow it.
Big Show actually can wrestle. We learned that last year.
But he can only last. It was only like 5 to 10 minutes, and he gets tired quickly. Could change now.
Yeah, I mean, Big Show's been in 30-minute matches in the past. I mean, hell, he was the one carrying Roman Reigns at one point. I mean, and that's not a knock on Roman. Roman was young at the time and inexperienced, and Big Show should have been carrying it. But the fact that Big Show was carrying it so well that still indicates to me that he can still go. I guess the question is it going to be a one-on-one match, or is it going to be like Shaq in the corner of somebody? Do you really want a Shaq in a match versus... I mean, at this point, are you just going to retire Big Show after WrestleMania? Because that's... Where does he go from there?
Yeah, if he loses outright to Shaq, it's going to be bad. For him.
I mean, Shaq's no David Arquette, okay? At least that man had some wrestling skills.
Right. What do you think, Carrie?
That's... I mean... This is a tough one. I mean, Show's in great shape. I mean, he probably has added at least maybe 5 more years onto his career. Just by it being in shape alone. Yeah, maybe not having him in a direct match with Shaq would help him out. Maybe have Shaq in somebody's corner. That would be good. I mean, either way, let's just hope that whatever they decide to do, it doesn't do any, I guess, permanent damage to this new Big Show. Which leads me to another question. Do we really call him Big Show anymore? He's not really big. Well,
when did 7'2" stop being big?
When is 7'2" not big? Because
big and big. Tall and wide.
It's all fat jokes tonight.
It's a fat joke right there.
Jeez.
Well, they keep on coming at the blog, which I believe is at 9deuce.com/wrestling, not wrestling/9deuce.com.
Correct.
Good.
What would you say to something along the lines of Big Show tag teaming with Shaq against a team like, say, a Gallows and Anderson, who can put on a good enough show? Anderson would bump like crazy for Shaq. Would that be more entertaining for you than Shaq versus Big Show? For me, it would.
I like that better, because then it gives Show the chance to be the face, and I think he's coming back. It seems like he's coming back as a face. He got a huge pop on Monday. I think he'd be coming back as a face. It would make a lot more sense to do it that way.
I like it.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like WCW in the late 90s with Malone and Rodman and stuff, where they did the tag matches, by and large.
Yeah.
And Jay Leno.
I like that. I think that would work a lot better. And especially if Gallows and Anderson are champions at that point. Not that I want Shaq and Big Show to win it for the titles. Maybe just have it to be a fun match.
Gallows and Anderson are not going to be the champions at WrestleMania. They will win the belts once they reform the club. Not a moment before then. That's not happening.
Maybe they're reforming it this week.
Oh, God. Cesaro's going to break up. Gallows and Anderson are going to be the belts. Rollins.
Had nothing to do with Rollins.
I know. Why do you got to keep bringing him up?
All right. Carrie, you know, we know that you have the investigative skills and the chops to reach down deep and get the information that we know nothing about. So, Carrie, what is your big news story of the week?
All right. So this week's big wrestling story of the week, well, we're going to get a little political. Why do you ask? Well, because Linda McMahon is currently in the process of getting confirmed for her Small Business Administration appointment. That's why. But it's not that that's a big wrestling story. Nor has she been the biggest star of this hearing's proceedings. I'm talking about Triple H. He has really become the big star of the start of these proceedings. So, according to an article I read from Fox Sports, Triple H arrived with Stephanie McMahon at McMahon's confirmation hearing on Tuesday. And apparently, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker couldn't resist the urge to get a friendly jab in at the game's expense. Apparently, after thanking McMahon for, you know, volunteering to serve her country, he said to her that Stephanie was more fierce and intimidating than her son-in-law, and that maybe he should take Triple H to the Senate gym to get him back in shape. Just a little funny, anecdotal, political story to get you started for this week, everyone. That's all I got, guys. You guys are just so not...
I don't know what to say to that. That's interesting, but... I don't know. Triple H, I think he's going to have to get used to this stuff. I mean, he's going to be a back guy. He's going to be in the back a lot. He's going to be doing this stuff. He's now kind of moved in with that family, so he might want to get used to being a bigger power than he is. Because Stephanie is. Stephanie's a presence.
This is true. I mean, I saw some of the video from yesterday's confirmation hearing, and she's sitting there smiling, looking like it's her first time at Capitol Hill. Triple H is sitting there going, all right, who can I pedigree? He just looked awkward there. It was weird.
Well, it's not his. That's not his realm. He's not a politician. He's not a politician in politics world. He's a politician in the back. So, I think. Don't you agree, Kent?
Yes.
All right. Kent talked about it now. Very good. Excellent. Well, thank you, Carrie. That's an interesting story. I don't know how much we can really talk about it, though, because I didn't see it. Because I'd rather watch Kent jazzercise than ever watch
these it. Jazz hands do not get as toned without the jazzercise.
Exactly. You gotta. So. Yeah. All right. Kent. You know, you've been sitting there seething in rage all day. And it seems like it's boiling over, so I really want to know, what's grinding your gears today?
Royal Rumble 2014.
That happened a long time ago. How is it grinding your gears now?
Because I had to watch it today. And, son of a bitch, I just closed the tab that I didn't want to close. All right. Here's the thing. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. As much as like 2013 was the beginning of the pinnacle of awfulness, 2014, I didn't realize how bad it was until I rewatched everything. And in case you forgot, this was the year that this was Punk's last match. This was Rey's last Royal Rumble. This was the year that Roman broke the freaking elimination record. Not only that, it was poorly booked, and I remember being outraged then, and watching it still, I'm still outraged for a company that is kind of reliant on its fans. I mean, let's face it, most companies are reliant on, you know, their fans, their consumers, whatever. I mean, wrestling is cool in the fact that they can shit on their fans and fans will just take it sometimes. Sometimes you gotta dangle the carrot a little bit. Sometimes you gotta give the fans what they want, and this is usually around the time when you give the fans what they want because you're building up to WrestleMania. And Daniel Bryan, which we all remember, was huge over, and all they had to do was have him in the Royal Rumble and have him get eliminated in a really different way, you know.
Kind of a BS way.
Something, it could have given him a feud. Like, if somebody would have just beat the hell out of him from like, somebody come out from the back and just eliminate him like Kurt Angle did with Shawn Michaels, something like that, I think that could have satiated the fans, but the fans never got that. And normally, I don't give a damn about a vocal fan section, but in this case, the fans were right. This crap never would have happened in the days of Hogan. Never would have happened. Never would have happened to Shawn Michaels. Never would have happened to Taker, Cena, Orton, Austin, Rock. So the question I'm asking to myself is, did WWE always like dislike Daniel Bryan? No other star had been treated that poorly ever. Ever. Even Punk had the year and a half reign, although it was a poor year and a half reign, he at least had it. Daniel Bryan was basically shown zero respect. That grinds my gears because it was foolish. Like, they just wasted money. They wasted everybody's time. I mean, the end of WrestleMania 30 was, you know, it was fine. I mean, I'm happy Daniel Bryan finally got that big moment. But it was never written that way. I don't believe it was ever written that way.
Probably wasn't written that way until like 3 days before WrestleMania.
Right, they're like, oh, Christ, we gotta give in. We hate money, though.
Yes.
It just bothers me, and then you know, to go even further, 2015 Royal Rumble, that was the year that the announcers went out of their way to be like, Roman Reigns, he's been in for 14 minutes. One of the announcers is like, yeah, and Bray Wyatt's been in there for 40 minutes. Rusev's been in there for 35 minutes. And the other guy's like, yeah, but Roman Reigns. The fuck out of here. And this is the problem with WWE. Now, this Sunday, we get the Rumble. Are we going to see more of the same, or is this finally going to be an opportunity? They have plenty of opportunities. They have so many options this year. My question to you guys, is this an opportunity for them to right themselves, and will they take advantage of aforementioned opportunity to do something right for once?
You would think. But then again, we have three part-timers in there. I'm talking Goldberg, Taker, and Lesnar. And why do I see them winning this? Because that's what we've been fed for the past, well, 3 years now. We got Batista in 14. We got Reigns, I believe, in 15. And then last year, didn't we get Triple H? Yeah.
We sure did.
So, yeah, the track record is not very good. Yeah.
Wait, you know what? 2013, just thrown out there, Cena won that.
Yes, that's right.
So they were very creative.
Oh, yeah. So it's totally going to be Goldberg, Lesnar, or Taker. Not that I would have a problem with Taker, but the other two I got a
problem. I'm going to go and be positive about this. I don't know. Maybe it's SmackDown that's been really just vibing me in the positive here, but I think this is going to be an interesting one this year. I think this is going to be the one that breaks the mold for the past few years. I don't think Goldberg, Taker, or Lesnar are winning this thing. I just think they're in there to set up their own feuds for WrestleMania coming up, which is going to be interesting in itself.
You mentioned SmackDown, but this is a Raw exclusive pay-per-view. I don't know if you caught that. They're borrowing AJ and Cena, but I mean, it's Raw exclusive.
You're right. Good point. Never mind. It's going to be garbage. Now, even Raw has been showing signs of improving story-wise. Last four Raws haven't been terrible. They haven't been great, but they haven't been terrible either. And if you can add your own story to some of the things they do, it hasn't been that bad. But I'm thinking that this is going to be an intrigue. We're going to set up a lot of things going into WrestleMania. I think they're going to I think we're going to get Randy betraying Bray, but I think it's too early for that now. So I'm not sure, but I'm still thinking that might happen. That's going to be interesting. I think Taker, Lesnar, and Goldberg are all in their own matches.
Not Royal Rumble predictions.
Are
they actually making a...
Yes, they're going to be making a statement this year. This is going to be a different... Break the mold.
I have a segment for later.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dough.
Hang your head of shame.
Dough.
Christ.
All right.
Oh, Russ didn't predict Rollins to win it.
Well, he's not in it.
Yeah, he is. Not only is he in it... All right, so that's my first question for Royal Rumble predictions.
Well, we're not in Royal Rumble predictions, my friend. We still got to do Were You Not Entertained?
Listen, my name's in the name of the podcast.
Exactly.
All right, so I can lay down some Scott Steiner math and prove you wrong, or you can just answer the question at hand.
I guess I'll just answer.
Who is Seth Rollins going to beat up to get that slot in the Royal Rumble? That's happening.
Jinder Mahal.
He's going to hinder Jinder?
He's going to hinder Jinder.
Oh.
And Rollins is even one of the ones that says, never hinder Jinder.
Oh, God. Carrie, please set this straight. Tell me it's not going to be poor Jinder that gets hindered by Rollins.
Nah, he'll take out the Titus brand.
Is Titus even in it?
Well, of course. I mean, Darren Young sure as hell ain't. Did anybody see the video of that?
No. But I'm glad. I heard it was pretty bad.
Oh, my. That was something.
Not as bad as Sid.
No, it wasn't. Because nothing really ever is.
But right, but this was bad.
It was at least an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty bad.
Since this is the Raw Rumble, it's going to be... He's just going to take somebody from SmackDown. I don't know like who the equivalent of Nunzio would be. But we'll just say... Kalisto?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll go with Kalisto.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Let's go to the Were We Not Entertained segment, Russ.
Thank you.
I know you're dying to talk about
it. Well, you know, this is one of my favorite segments because this is the namesake of the show. This is the kind of segment that connects us all together. So, if you're not interested in the show, then you wouldn't be listening. If you're not familiar
with the
show...
Do you have two words for us?
Yes. And they begin with S and it. Yes. All right, so... This segment here, Are You Not Entertained, is simply quickly, we take one segment from the week, and we ask each of us, were we not entertained? It's kind of more of one that could be back and forth. It might be entertaining, it might not. We'll find out from each of us. So this week's segment, we're going to talk about the ending of Raw, where Goldberg, Brock, and Taker kind of stared down, and nothing else. Was that the right move? Did it entertain us? Kerry, we'll start with you.
I wouldn't say it entertained me, but it did serve its purpose. It basically got the casual fan to say, oh yeah, maybe I should watch Rumble because one of those three will probably win. But I wasn't entertained.
Or entertained?
Or entertained. There was no taining at all in that segment for me.
That's actually a good thing. Ken.
Well, I just want to say that I voted for the Mickey James promo to be talked about because I wanted to make fun of Mickey James giving a promo like Triple H. If nobody else caught that, I'm sorry, but she really hung on to the end of her words quite a bit. That was entertaining, okay? But since I got vetoed on that, this was just for casual fans. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Don't care. Anytime you can ruin an Undertaker segment, an appearance by Undertaker, you're doing God's work, Raw. Yeah, you sure are. Because, gosh, I just don't care. Like, only thing I thought about, I even took notes, is that, I could see Brock versus Goldberg versus Taker at WrestleMania. Just kill off all the part-timers in one match. That would be a huge match, because that would qualify under all the rumors of Taker not going for the belt, Taker not going for Cena. That would really fit the criteria and be a huge match that I don't want to see. But it could be a huge match and give everybody a breather. And maybe Goldberg could pin Undertaker in like 5 seconds. That'd be awesome, right? Yeah. Fuck that ending.
I'm going to say, and this is a tough one, I don't want to say I was fully entertained, but it was different. It wasn't a massive brawl at the end to just have everybody beat the crap out of each other, as it always does at the beginning, right before the Rumble. It was just three guys staring down at each other, and the three big guys that are like, holy crap, and you probably want to see fight, but they didn't. Interesting. Definitely for the cash fan. I call casual fans cash fans. Now. Forever.
Are they big cash fans?
Big cash fans.
Mm, but like they're soft.
S-A-W-F-T, too. So, I liked the direction because it was just different. But it wasn't like, holy cow, I want to see that again. That was it. I was done. So, kind of entertained.
More importantly... Rusev calling himself handsome on Monday was the highlight of Raw for me. I just want to toss that one out there. There was nothing better on Raw. There was nothing. Not any match, not any promo. Rusev calling himself handsome was the highlight of Raw.
Well, it was pretty funny.
Right. That's all.
Okay. We got time for at least one email before we do Rumble predictions?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do one email. This email is from AmbroseGirl96. And again, if you want to send us an email anytime during the week, heck, you can even send your questions through Twitter or Instagram. You can send an email to...
Can you do that through Instagram?
I am so
Instagram illiterate.
I know nothing about Instagram. I was just hoping...
Carrie, you're a female. Tell us more.
I don't even have an Instagram account, so I have
could
no idea.
Could you take a picture of your? You could take a picture of your question and put it on the Instagram. So technically,
Russ, that sounded so lewd. Just move on.
So, if you want to leave us a question, you can always leave us a question at wrestling@ninedeuce.com or send us a Twitter on our Twitter official 9deuce. That's at official 9deuce. So. Email from AmbroseGirl96. Is this the greatest Royal Rumble of all time, as they allude to on WWE programming, or are they just blowing smoke up our bums? Okay, we'll start with Carrie.
Probably not. I mean, it's a tagline to get you to watch the Rumble. I mean, the whole remember the Rumble, they're trying to put you in the nostalgia factor, get you to watch. This isn't going to be the greatest Rumble of all time. Unless they do something that's really shocking, really surprising. And we actually get a winner who is unpredictable, but I don't think it's going to be. No.
Yeah, there's zero chance in hell of this being. They don't have anybody that's really interesting. Honestly, are you really that interested in it? Like, it's cool to not know who's going to win. That's something we haven't had in years, which is awesome. But then they give us this watered down roster for the Rumble. And no, just no. Go back to 2004. Look at who's in that Rumble. Go to 2005, 2006. Wow, that's a stacked lineup of who's who in wrestling. There's like 20 guys that are probably Hall of Famers. This one? No. Big Cass is in it. How you doing?
Wow, well, I can't call this being the greatest Rumble ever. But I think it's going to be good. Let's take a look. Are we just talking the Rumble itself, or are we talking about the whole pay-per-view?
I don't know. I'm not Ambrose girl. First of all,
well,
I'm not
for
a girl.
Us,
second of all, I don't like the number 96.
That's true. It's kind of weird that she chose 96 and not 9 deuce. I'm kind of disappointed.
Probably the year she was born.
No. I don't accept it. Should always be 9 deuce. Anyway. Here's the thing. I'm going to say, if you look at the whole pay-per-view in a whole, you have a potential match of the year, Cena-AJ. You've got a Rumble. Okay, it does not have the star power necessarily, but it does have a lot of interesting elements. Bray and Randy. What's going to happen there? Isn't Luke in it? Luke's in it too. So Bray, Randy, Luke. Interesting. Lesnar, Goldberg, Taker and Braun, all in it. Big Show. All those big guys.
We just call Braun Big Pussy. I mean, that's what he is.
Wow, you've turned so hard on him. In 2 weeks, I've never seen anybody turn so quickly.
Seriously, do you really think Braun's a threat in this Royal Rumble?
No, not a chance. But I think it'll be interesting. I think he's going to throw out one of the big guys.
Couldn't they have ended it cooler by having Big Show and Braun come out too? And
yes.
Big Cass, like, have all six towers of men just come out?
Yes,
and
that would be awesome.
You know, maybe Baron Corbin's music plays, and then they all get distracted and Sami Zayn wins.
And that's it. That's the other thing. We don't know who's going to win this Rumble. Here's the downside. It's 8 hours long. Nobody cares for that long. I know it's not 8 hours, but still.
It's going to feel like 8 hours.
It's going to feel like 24, okay? Kent and I, by the end, are going to want to kill ourselves. We should really record ourselves watching it as a marathon and see how long we last before we start complaining.
I'll be bitching within like 5 minutes. There's no doubt about that. Unless I have some booze in me or pizza, hopefully both, maybe.
Well, you'll be distracted because you'll be doing all the stuff. I'm assuming we were doing everything we always do with the Rumble predictions.
Yeah, I'll get the Excel spreadsheet going.
Yeah, there you go. So you're gonna be busy with that. So that's gonna be kind of tough.
Yeah, I don't know. This Rumble just. I got a question. Is how many people do you really think have a realistic chance at winning this? In your mind, who has how many people have a realistic chance, and who are they? Russ, you clearly already have an answer, so enlighten us while Kerry looks to the left.
Okay, so I think there's only really three guys that have a realistic chance of winning this thing. First, I'm going to say The Miz. I can see it. I'm not 100% positive on this one, but I can see this one happening. Two, Sami Zayn, because you've ingrained it into my head now that I'm pretty sure that he is going to win this thing. So congratulations.
Yes.
And finally, the last person I think that might win it, Undertaker. I'm still holding on to that one. I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a possibility that he could win it and then go after the champion. So those are my three. I don't think anybody else really has a chance.
I have four pretty similar. I have Corbin, Zayn, possibly Undertaker. And number four, I have surprise entrant. Because there's always a surprise entrant in the Rumble.
Kenny Omega. All right, who would that be?
I have no idea. Maybe a returning Finn Balor.
Finn Balor? Kenny Omega?
No. We don't need more flippy shit.
That would be.
We need more tall pussies. That's what we need. That'll sell the tickets and drive the casual fans. Yeah. I got five guys. Finn. I think Finn. I don't want to see him there. I don't want Finn Balor. I think if he's there, that's a really bad sign because I would be willing to bet Russ's life that Finn will be injured by the end of the year. So, I don't want him there, but I think he'll be there. Baron's the only guy from SmackDown that has a chance, but it would tell such a good story and be a huge rub for a rookie. So, that's a pick. Sami Zayn, because that's who I've been telling you for months. Taker, just because it'd be neat, but unlikely. And the dark horse I have is a Samoan by the name of Joe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Samoa Joe.
Everybody keeps saying that he's getting a huge push. And although I can't imagine him debuting and winning a Royal Rumble, that's never happened. If they're going to do it for somebody...
Samoa Joe's the guy.
Samoa Joe can make an immediate impact, just like Styles did. So, as much as I'm rooting for my prediction of Sami Zayn, I'm definitely rooting on Joe and Corbin.
I forgot Corbin was even in it. That's how bad that is.
Russ, SmackDown has done a great job of advertising. What are you talking about?
The only thing they've talked about is Cena and Styles. I can't believe we'd even talk about those guys today. Holy crap.
That was going to be my topic. Yeah. Fuck Cena. That was my whole topic. It was just, I get sick of Cena getting away with stuff and promos.
I think this is different, though. I really think he's not winning now. It was all him winning. I don't think he's going to.
Oh, the hell you say? Because everybody online for the past 4 weeks been like, oh, Roman Reigns going to win. Oh, Cena's going to win. And now neither of those fools are going to win it. Big surprise. Proving, once again, internet wrestling fans are amongst the biggest group of dumbasses that ever existed. Really? Go to a wrestling message board. It's amazing how dumb these people are that supposedly follow this.
I like watching the people on Facebook. Go to anything like WWE.com. Go to the Facebook comments. The people who still think it's real and question it like it's real are ridiculous. And it's not like these are 10-year-old kids.
It's not real?
No, Kat. It's not real. I'm talking about this.
You're breaking the fourth wall.
I am. But I was reading one of these things. It was about Daniel Bryan. And one guy goes, Daniel Bryan is a terrible GM. He should be gone. He's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking, he does nothing. He is he's an actor. He's not an actual GM. He doesn't do anything.
He's a figurehead.
Yes, he doesn't do anything. And this guy's like, he's terrible. And I'm just like, oh my God. How do I explain this to this idiot? He doesn't do anything. But whatever. It's just funny.
All right. I got a couple more Royal Rumble questions.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll get a returning superstar from days gone by.
Yes.
That happens quite often. This seems ripe year for it. Who you got as a guy coming back? Where is this going to be? Does anybody know? It's going to be in Texas.
Texas.
Right?
Texas.
Yeah, remember the Alamo bullshit. Yes.
That's why I would have thought Shawn Michaels, but no.
No. Shawn won't do it. I don't know. I think Terry Funk's like 70, and yeah, I still want to say Terry Funk, but I feel like he was 70 20 years ago when he entered the Royal Rumble. I
kind of want it to be like, kind of like JBL.
The last time JBL was in, he was announcing, he goes, takes his coat off, turns his back, and I think it was like Roman just like threw him over.
It was in like 2 seconds, and he came back like nothing happened. It was hilarious. I'd love to see that again. No, for returning, I don't know, Billy Gunn maybe?
If he's not in hot water anymore, that'd be cool.
Is he still in hot water?
I have no idea. But sure, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Okay. Carrie, you looked to the left long enough?
I'm just going to say the obvious. Let's have a returning Kurt Angle.
I was trying to stay away from that one because I don't know. I don't think that's happening.
It's probably not going to happen, but I had to go there because everybody else is saying it.
It would be huge.
Oh, huge.
And that for that reason alone, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I'll go DDP.
Too busy doing yoga.
Yeah, I mean, the last time he was there, it was 2014. He did an okay job, hit some diamond cutters. It was okay. I think Booker T is almost a guarantee. Texas, that's where Booker's from. I think there's going to be even more than that, though. I genuinely think we're going to see a lot, because they've only announced, I think, like 20 guys. I don't think they're going to utilize guys like the Ascension. I think it's going to be a lot of... This is huge. Just 30-year anniversary. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is almost...
Hulk Hogan.
Let me tell you something, brother. That would be
huge.
Only if he eliminated Cena, who's not in the match.
Who's not in the match, right. Maybe he should bring Cena out, eliminate him, even though he's not a part of the match.
Just come out and interfere in the AJ match. That'd be fine.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Who's going to be the guy that lasts the longest?
Carrie, you go first.
I'm thinking...
So is Ross. I know. I'm going to go first.
Well, then I'm just going to go with the first name that popped in my head. I'm going with Corbin.
Wow.
Little rookie rub there.
You know, it wouldn't be the first time a rookie has held his own for a while.
Okay. I'm going with Dean Ambrose. Seems like it's his year to last a long time. He did last a long time last year, too, let's face it.
He did last a long time.
Yes. Love him long time, too.
I don't get it.
Okay, Kent, who do you got? They didn't have that one thought out, did you?
No, I didn't. I've already, like, forgotten it. So, I'm doing really good with this. It was not Dean. It was not Miz. It was definitely not Corbin. Wow. I have completely blanked out on who I had predicted. Oh, Dolph. Yeah, I'm going to go with Dog Ziggler and Rusev.
Okay.
I think both guys are going to... Speaking of Dog Ziggler... Oh, did I see the Dog Ziggler? No? Maybe? Yeah?
What about him?
He's here to show the world. Show the world. All right, does anybody think there's going to be any title changes at Royal Rumble?
Probably not.
I think the tag division in Raw, yes.
Yep, you keep predicting that, and you keep swinging and missing.
Yep, I'll swing and miss that one. I've been predicting this since September. That's the only one I'm still holding on to, so...
Fair enough. I don't know, Carrie, have you been following NXT at all? Do you know the matches?
I saw a preview for the major ones.
Do you think Shinsuke is keeping it over Rude?
I'm kind of hoping he doesn't, because I kind of want him to be one of the surprise entrants in the Rumble,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I want him in a surprise entrance.
See, I'd rather Rude be a surprise entrant. Just because Rude's older. Rude needs to be moved up, in my opinion, now. But, I don't know. Ty Dillinger's also a cool guy that could be a surprise entrant that I keep hearing about. Alright. Yeah. This NXT doesn't sound that great, to be perfectly honest. The card is not that good. Should be pretty underwhelming, as a matter of fact. Not jazzed up at all. Alright. I think we can go to Guess the Wrestler, unless we have any other things we gotta get to.
We want to do any predictions for any of the other matches, or no?
Alright, everybody agrees Styles is going to win, everybody agrees that Owen's going to win, everybody agrees that Charlotte's going to win.
Yep.
Nobody cares about Sasha versus Nia.
Nope.
Everybody with common sense agrees that Cesaro's going to walk out champs.
Nope.
SmackDown
the
has
six,
nothing.
Yeah, the six women.
Yeah, it's on the pre-show. Don't count.
Oh, it's on the pre-show too? Oh, I thought it was on the main. I thought it was on the main attraction.
Maybe it will get on the main one.
It has to. There's 5 hours. It's gotta.
It's 4 hours, and then the pre-show's 2 hours.
Okay. Fine.
So if you have a two-hour pre-show, do you only do two matches or do you do three matches? Is the question.
Ew, that's a tough one.
Because Cena versus Styles should go 30 to 40 minutes.
Absolutely.
And Owens versus Roman could go a good half hour. Although I don't really want Jericho to be up in that cage for that long. Also, nobody predicted Jericho. Why is that? I think Jericho has a really good chance at main eventing. He's never won a Royal Rumble. And him versus Owens seems like a thing that's going to happen at Mania. Is nobody considering Jericho? Does everybody just think that's not happening?
I forgot all about it. It makes a lot of sense, especially if KO is going to win this thing at Rumble.
Carrie.
I just kind of forgot, but
it happens.
I agree with Russ. It makes sense.
Here's what I think is going to happen, because we haven't had this ending since 2005 or three. I don't know. I think it was five. I think Sami Zayn and Chris Jericho are going to eliminate themselves at the same time to end it, setting up a killer three-way for WrestleMania main event. Why not? We know SmackDown's not winning it. There's no rhyme or reason to have a SmackDown winner.
No sense
with Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
There's no point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Raw. If we're going to say Raw or SmackDown, definitely Raw. I think we all agree with that. Okay. Guess the Wrestler, and we'll wrap this baby up.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's your turn
this
week.
It is my turn this week. I do have a wrestler. And I say go ahead, guys.
All right. I'll start us off with the questions.
No, Carrie. Ladies first. Kent. No, okay. Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, I am asking the question. Okay. Male or female?
Russ, don't confuse her, please.
It's too easy. All right, go ahead, Carrie.
Male or female?
Oh, male. Male.
All right. Is he a current wrestler on the current WWE roster?
No.
Is he a past wrestler on the WWE roster?
Yes.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Not currently, probably never.
I like my odds.
What era?
Attitude. Maybe going a little bit into Ruthless Aggression.
Did this person ever win the World Championship?
No, I am very positive he never won it. Uh-huh. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty darn... I'm 95% sure he's never won it.
Has he ever won any of the belts?
He has won a belt, possibly two, but he's definitely won one.
Did this man primarily wear the color purple?
No, but he was darn close to being my guest the wrestler, if I think I know who you're talking about.
Oh, man. Everything so far added up to Val Venus.
Yes, I'd say that. He was that close, and when you mentioned him, I was like, oh my god, I should have named him. Oh, but no, it was so close to being Val Venus. I'll just throw that out at you. So close.
All right, we got three more guesses. Carrie, knock it out, knowing that's not Val Venus.
Oh, that's not going to help me ask any questions. Tag team or singles?
Mostly singles, but he has had a little bit of tag team.
Did this guy also wrestle for WCW?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to say no, I don't think so.
Okay.
Your last question. Carrie, do you want to give it to Kent? Or
I'm going to pass it to Kent because I have literally no idea who you picked.
All right. The only thing that I can really think that might help us with only one left. Was he predominantly a heel or a face during his run?
Most of the time, he was definitely a heel. He had a little face run for a little bit, but for the most time, he was heel.
Okay.
I'll also give you this. The belt he won is a defunct division. A lot. So if that helps you out a little bit, because this was a tougher one.
So that's either hardcore or European. It's definitely not Crash Holly. Predominantly heel. Got anybody, Carrie?
Nope.
Like I said, it was so close to being Val Venus. I cannot believe that when you mentioned him today, I was like, oh my god.
Oh, gosh. Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era.
Mostly Attitude, but he slipped into Ruthless.
Gosh. There was a lot of guys that turned so many times back and forth. This becomes a huge problem for me. Trying to figure out who would actually have... Man. Russ, you've done well. But I've got to base this on European or hardcore. I can't imagine you're choosing a European champion.
I'll never tell. Until the end, and then I have to.
But, since I have to choose, I'm going to go with D'Lo Brown.
Excellent choice, but not the guy.
Okay, so it's most likely not a European champion.
Because
nobody remembers any European champion.
I was going to say, Val Venus and D'Lo Brown are the only two I can think of that were European champion.
I'm just going to throw this name out there because he's played a really good heel. I'm going to go with William Regal.
No, not even William Regal, though. He's a good choice. Again, he was a European
WCW.
Yeah, so that was a big time. All right. Kent, you were close when you said Crash Holly.
Oh.
Very close, because it was Hardcore Holly. Or Bob Holly.
Or Butt Plug Holly.
Yes, or Bob Holly.
Because he was a heel or a face for like the first 3 years of his run.
But he was terrible, and then he became a heel the rest of the way.
Yeah, then he became a face when he faced Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble. In one of the worst matches.
Yes.
Not as bad as Brock versus Big Show, which I just watched for laughs. So bad.
Oh, it was bad. But yes, Hardcore Holly. He won the Hardcore Championship 6 times.
Damn.
Yep. And I thought you were going to get it when you said Crash. I was like, oh man, he's got it. You're on that track.
Yeah, I needed to know hair color.
Yeah. Bleach blonde, baby. And mostly bald.
Yeah. Oh, well. Good job, Russ.
Thank you. It was fun. Always fun. All right. I think that's going to do it for us, guys. It's been a productive show, guys. I appreciate you guys coming on with us. And again, listeners, email us at wrestling@9deuce.com if you have any questions you'd like to ask. We'll happily go over them on air. And don't forget Twitter. You can get us at official9deuce. And for Kent and Eric, Kent and Carrie, this is going to be... Yeah, that was with Kent Eric. Her alter
ego. You know what? We can also pimp the fact that I have the Royal Rumble retrospective coming out.
The
plus,
Royal
we got
Rumble
the NXT predictions, plus the Royal Rumble predictions blog coming out. This whole week is getting updated every single day until like Monday or Tuesday.
Crazy wrestling. Yeah, crazy wrestling week.
So every day there's going to be updates.
All right. Well, next week when we come back, we'll be talking a lot about the Rumble, the Fallout, definitely.
And Monday, Steve.
Oh, Monday with Steve, right.
Steve.
Yep. So be prepared to catch that, guys. We got a lot going on, and we love doing it for you. So we'll see you next time.
Night, y'all.
Sniff, you jerks.
There it is. I was wondering if that was coming.